Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 6 a.m. So I'm going to change my view over here. It's fine for now. We are in Proverbs 9 today. And so I see my friend Nicole over there. Nicole, if you wouldn't mind reading, and then we'll pray and we'll jump right in. Thank you.
Good morning. Proverbs 9, I'm reading out of the NIV, the New International Version. Verse 1, wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there and that their guests are deep in the realm of the dead.
Hey, thanks, Nicole. Okay, let's pray and we'll jump right in. Father, we thank you for your word as we look into Proverbs this morning. We pray that we would understand the changes you might be calling us to. And Father, we pray for revelation as we look into your word. We pray for action points for each of us. And so, Father, would you just be with us now as we dive into your word at this hour of the day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Proverbs 9. Let me just pull up my notes here. Okay, so we have this rich poetic chapter that contrasts two different invitations, wisdom and folly, which is the title. Now you'll notice that wisdom and folly are personified as a woman calling out to the simple here. And I'll come back to that in a second. But Proverbs 9 is a conclusion of this first major section of Proverbs, chapters 1 through 8 through 9. And so as I was preparing for this, looking through this, I asked myself the question, you know, why is the writer specifically using this personification of a woman? And so I did a little research, and the Hebrew word for wisdom, which I probably won't mispronounce, Hokmah, is a grammatically feminine noun. So in the language, so in Hebrew, like in many languages, gendered nouns influence how ideas are personified. So this is a gendered noun that they're using. Okay, so Let's look at Proverbs 9 from three different lenses: the lens of decision making, so choices, right? Character formation, and then spiritual discernment. So key theme here is there's two invitations, and the right choice is to choose wisdom, right? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. Okay, so here we go. So first point. Let's look at Proverbs 9:1 through 6. Verse 1 says, wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. Now, we know the number seven is pretty significant, right? In the Bible, it symbolizes fullness, completeness, or divine perfection. Examples would be 7 days of creation, seven churches, Revelation, seven spirits before God's throne, Revelation 1:4. So in Proverbs 9:1, the seven pillars suggest that wisdom's house is perfect, is complete, well constructed. It's not haphazard or unstable. It's well made. It's a thing of significance. So the interpretation I would take away from that is that wisdom is solid, sufficient, and whole. It can bear the weight of things that'll come its way, right? So we use wisdom when we have to discern how to behave or act in certain situations. Let's jump into verses 2 and 3. It says, she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. Now, I think the point here is this is not fast food, right? It's intentional, it's inviting. And even if you look at the specific wordage here, like mixed, right? So she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. The wine sometimes had to be flavored or set to the right dilutions. It wasn't too strong. So there's intentionality here, intentional inviting, right? So verse 3, she sends out servants to call the simple. Let me rephrase that. She sends out servants and she calls from the highest point of the city. Okay. Now, who is she calling? Oh, insight. Okay, so here's our takeaway here. This is a picture of God's invitation to life, right? Wisdom doesn't hide, it calls out to us. Wisdom requires preparation and pursuit, right? We have to go after it. It doesn't just happen, you have to accept the invitation. I want to throw in a few other references here. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Come, all who are thirsty, right? Invitation. Matthew 22, 1 through 14, which is the parable of the wedding banquet. An invitation is extended to all, but not all respond. James 1, 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Okay. So throughout scripture, we see these invitations to respond. Okay, so here's an application question. Okay, are we positioning ourselves where wisdom calls, right? So are we in a place where we can hear and respond? The second part of the question is, are we helping other people accept that invitation? What does that mean? Mentoring, discipling, being in groups, right? There are people that are at different levels of spiritual formation. So here's the question. How are we preparing a table of wisdom in our homes, wherever, right? Place of work, maybe that's a little harder. So how do we prepare a table of wisdom? Proverbs 9:1 and 2, where wisdom has prepared her meat and mixed the wine, she also set her table. So this is a very powerful metaphor, right? Of creating a space that's inviting, where life guidance can be given generously. So what does it mean to prepare a table of wisdom? So it means creating environments where personal, relational, when God's wisdom is present, welcomed, and shared. I think is the key, one of the key moments here. All right, so like wisdom in Proverbs 9, we can cultivate spaces where other people can encounter God's truth, grace, and direction. So how do we do that? So we have to build that with intentionality, right? Wisdom has built a house. Okay, so to do that, you have to have a foundation of God's word, right? So wisdom begins with God, Proverbs 1:7, Proverbs 9 and 10. To build a house, a table of wisdom, it means that we have to be generous, right? It says she has prepared a meat and mixed the wine. Wisdom's table is not stingy, it's not selfish, but it's rich and satisfying. Preparing a table of wisdom means serving truth that nourishes. And where does truth come from? God's word, right? So don't withhold what God has taught you. We have to share that with others. The third sub-point on building a table of wisdom is Proverbs 9:3 says, she has sent out her servants and she calls. But wisdom doesn't wait passively, she reaches out. So preparing a table means inviting others into intentional conversations, spaces, and relationships. Fourth sub-point there is to create a table of wisdom. We have to clear out the noise of life, right? We have the world, today's world's full of clutter and distraction, and it means clearing a space for clarity, clearing a space for listening and spiritual discernment. So I guess my application question on this section is, how would you create margin for God's voice, right? So for many, this time is that. But throughout the day, how do you create margin for God's voice? So just listening and responding. Okay. Okay, so creating a table of wisdom means that we have to step outside of our comfort zone, right? It calls us to change. It calls us to be hospitable, right? To lead others towards real life change in Christ. Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Okay. Everyone doing okay? Okay, so let's take a look at verses 7 through 12. And this is the response of the wise versus the foolish. Okay, so verse 7:8 says, let me just go over there. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Rebuke the wise. And they will love you. Okay, so what does this all mean? It means we people asked it for our hearts. So a mocker resists truth, gets defensive, and often retaliates. A wise person sees correction as a gift and uses it to grow. Now that can be really hard, right? So we don't always like correction. What does correction do? It doesn't create character, it reveals character, right? So it often reveals who we really are. Growth comes not just from knowledge, but from humility, right? Growth is often founded in humility. So the principle is crucial for us as leaders, parents, teachers, guiding others. Let's take a look at a few other verses here. So Proverbs 15, 31 to 32. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Hebrews 12, 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but produces a harvest of righteousness. Galatians 6, 1. Restore others gently, which is right. So it kind of assumes that we are correct and we are corrected. Okay, so here's a little illustration I want to give you as we look into this concept of receiving correction. So, do you ever drive somewhere with your GPS, not having any clue where the destination is, and the GPS is telling you to go, and you decide to not listen and get totally lost, right? That's when we are not receiving correction well, right? Especially when the other person or GPS actually knows where to go. I guess there might be occasion where it doesn't, but that's where foolishness would come in, right? That's where not responding to correction would not be positive. So some application. When was the last time that you invited correction? It's actually a really powerful thing when you do that. Are you growing better when challenged or better? Right? So is humility the foundation or pride? And I think this one's really big. Who are the wise voices you've given permission to correct you? And we have to be careful about this. We have to make sure we pick the right voices. But who are the wise voices you've given permission to correct you? Okay. Let's see. Let's go on to verse 10. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Okay, this is kind of the central verse of this chapter. So it was, as we look at the word fear, it's not terror, it's honor, right? Fear is reverence or submission, right? So it's relational wisdom. So you can't separate a wise life from a submitted life. Right? So wisdom doesn't start with intellect, but it starts with altitude, right? So what is our closeness in relationship to the one who gives wisdom to God, right? Through Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So true wisdom is God-centered, not self-centered. Okay, let's look at a few other references here. Let's see, Job 28, 28. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Psalm 111, 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. Romans 11, 33 to 36. Essentially says Paul breaks into worship because of God's infinite wisdom, right? So this isn't about a legalistic fear. It's about aligning our hearts under God's authority and design, right? So fear of the Lord is that alignment, is that reverence, that awe. Okay, so here's a few application questions for us. As we consider this verse, and our lives. Do you seek God first when making decisions? So, aligning ourselves with God first before we make decisions. Here's another one. How does your lifestyle show reverence for God? Right? Is your lifestyle reflecting your relational connection with God, or is it not doing that? And then the last thought here is, are you cultivating that same awe, right, that reverence in your kids, your place of work, your ministry, by the way that you behave, right? And a little story for you. Years ago in South Africa, I worked with an actuary, and I was working in IT at the time. And this guy was a very, very intelligent guy, actuary, and he had developed a system that I was helping to work on. But this guy had this, let's put it this way, he used the Lord's name in vain constantly. I mean, nonstop. Like he would say, like, oh God, all the time, like literally over and over and over and over. And as someone who respects and holds the God's name in awe and reverence, it bothered me. And so one day I said to this guy, I said, hey, his name was Pavel. I said, hey, Pavel, do you know God? And he kind of looked at me strangely and said, what? But now I'm just curious because you keep calling out his name. And so, I challenged him and things changed. But it's because he was not showing, it wasn't that awe and respect, and he wasn't a believer, so you couldn't expect him to. But my response was, I do hold God's name in awe. Would you mind not doing that? So, like, how is your lifestyle? How are we cultivating awe in the people around us? Okay, let me just make a small adjustment here. Everyone doing okay? Okay, we're going to jump into verses 13 through 18. Okay, verse 13. Says folly is an unruly woman. Let's see. I'm gonna okay. And verse 15 says, let me jump 13. Folly is an unruly woman. And 15 says, calling out to those who pass by who go straight on their way. So again, we see that folly is personified as a woman, but with stark differences here. It says folly is loud, seductive, undisciplined, offers stolen water and food eaten in secret, which is simple. Which what is that? That symbolizes the sinful pleasures and shortcuts, right? So. Folly off. What does folly offer? So folly offers, of course, contrast this to wisdom, right? We've been talking about wisdom. Folly offers immediate gratification, but hides the cost. Right? There's always a cost. Only the person paying the cost will know what the cost is to you. There's always some kind of cost, right? Whether it be health or relationally or intimacy with God, but there's always a cost to that immediate gratification. So she calls out to the same people as wisdom, but her path leads to death, right? Many people choose folly. Why? Because it feels good in the moment and requires no effort. Right? It takes work and intentionality to choose wisdom. Okay, I'm just looking in the chat if there's any questions here. Okay, let's look at a few. Is to death. Matthew 7:14. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, right? We all know about the wide road and the narrow road. What are the types of choices we're going to make? Okay, so here's a few questions for you. What stolen pleasures are we being tempted by? Right? What is that? What is that immediate gratification? Or what is that food eaten in secret? Right? The sinful pleasures and shortcuts. So what are the stolen pleasures we are being tempted by? And we have to identify it before we can deal with it, right? What looks attractive on the surface but has death underneath, right? Oh, this is a good idea. Is it really? Right, maybe not. So let's look at this in terms of who or what has been whispering deceptive invitations in your life. Wow, sometimes it's people, right? Sometimes it's people going, yeah, we should do this, do that. Let's look at this idea of junk food, right? It's convenient, it's tasty, but in the long run, it's probably not good for us. So we see this contrast of wisdom has this stable house with the shallowness of folly's lies, right? Okay. Everyone doing okay? Okay, so at the end of the day, what is Proverbs 9 wanting us to do? It's wanting us to make choices, right? So good choices. So what are our choices? Wisdom or folly? Life or death? Or God or self, right? So these are all choices. Verse 18. But little do they know that the dead are there, that our guests are deep in the realm of the dead. All right, so Bali's guests are not the kind of things that I want to hang out with. So there's a call to action here, right? So it says, what do we need to do? We need to accept the invitation to wisdom today, right? We have to reject folly. We have to let the fear of the Lord reshape our perspective, right? So the key verse, I believe, is at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Okay. So let the fear of the Lord reshape our perspective. Don't just hear wisdom, walk in it. Okay. All right, so let me summarize this for us here. So Proverbs 9 brings us to a choice between wisdom and folly, right? Two voices calling out, offering two very different paths. Wisdom builds, prepares, and invites us to a table that is filled with truth, grace, and life. Folly offers shortcuts, distraction, and pleasure that ends in destruction, right? Seems good at first, but it's not. At the heart of wisdom is fear of the Lord, right? Life anchored in reverence and a trust in God. Wisdom is not passive, it calls out, but it's up to us to respond. So let's be people who are preparing tables of wisdom, right? Building our lives in God's truth, inviting others in, and clearing space for that real transformation. So if I could summarize this all in one line, I'd say this: wisdom is calling, build your life in God's truth, prepare space for others, and choose the path that leads to life. Wow. Pretty, God's word is pretty amazing, right? When you see what it has to offer us. So thank you for jumping in with us this morning. Let's pray. I'm going to get you on your way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that wisdom is calling. We thank you that we can build our lives on your word. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that allows us to discern between wisdom and folly. Father, we pray that we would be people that build others up, that invite others in. Father, we pray that we would be ones that prepare a space for others, that we would make choices that lead to life. Father, we thank you that you are a good and awesome God. And so, Father, we remember how awesome you are. We remember how we should revere you, how we should respond to you. And so, Father, we thank you for the wonderful gifts you give us. We pray today that we would use your word, that we would respond to your word, that we would live out your word as we go about our day. So, Father, I pray a blessing on each one that has been with us this morning. Father, would your Holy Spirit fill us? Would you use us? And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen, everyone. Thanks for jumping in. We'll see you soon.